I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. As usual, I think I've got an interesting show in store for you this evening. It'll be jam-packed with information as usual. We'll be talking about the big picture of ascension and also the attempted enslavement of humanity, likely getting into not only talking about different perspectives on the ascension process, but also talking about some of the implications of the Greys and Reptilians, as well as some world history review, some connections regarding the Bashar influence, and also a little bit of an update on COVID vaccines. But before we get into all of that, we'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari.
Thank you.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. The Shanti at the end means peace. And I'd like to now give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET listening audience just for being you, having the level of consciousness to connect with the kind of information that's provided on this program. And I'd like to extend an invitation to all the listeners to contact me at any time with questions concerning any content that I bring up on this program. And you can always contact me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. I'd also like to invite you to email me concerning your wishes towards program content. And nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes, utilizing ideas and concepts and techniques that are presented on ET Yoga. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you'll know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from big pharma, mainstream medical, and technology as much as humanly possible. And if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, you'll know that I was saying that long before the current crisis in the health area. In preparation for tonight's program, the general topic is the big picture of the ascension. And I'd like to state right up front that with respect to this whole ascension idea and ascending into the new earth at the 5D level and all the varying destinations that people will be taking, in my opinion, everyone is going to end up where they're supposed to be. So there's really no fear involved with this process. Although I guess for some people it does present some shocks to the ego. And there's many perspectives on probable ascension outcomes. And I'm going to share with you one. It comes from Kiraj. And the assumption here is that Kiraj is an extraterrestrial. Greetings to you from heart to heart in this moment we speak. I am Kiraj. The information expressed here is that of my perspective, my point of view. For all truth awaits you in your heart. Tune into the light within you. In the spiritual community, there are few or none that talk about the specifics of ascension. Why? They don't know, don't want to instill fear, can't predict the future. But this isn't about that. This is experience. And it is unique to everyone. Yes, but the overall highest probable outcomes would be interesting to discuss. We've received the same question many times from people asking how many are expected to ascend. There are some who say 100% of Earth's population will ascend. Others say 90% or 75% of Earth's population and so on. This just isn't so. We will say such is only wishful thinking. We speak of beings ascending to 5D Earth. for all 100% will eventually be departing from 3D, but not all will ascend to 5D Earth. As we have said a couple of times, ascending while carrying tons of fear would be very difficult. And unfortunately, more than half of Earth's population is still in the lower frequencies. Many have so much lower energy to transmute that they're not even aware of this. You also have those who say the event, the solar flash, or galactic pulse will help everyone ascend. This is also false. The solar flash isn't only helping some ascend, it is also helping Earth rid herself of the remaining lower energies, which much is also held within the humans and the toxic waste that roams her body. When the solar flash occurs, a large number of the population will be departing in the days and weeks to follow, for they do not match the frequency of the new reality. They will experience a frequency burnout. While those that remain, many will know, but also quite a few will be confused. And this is where the light workers come in for assistance. Light workers will be totally aware of what just unfolded. This is physical ascension. It is also spiritual ascension. We say this because at this time, based on the current energies of Earth and her human collective, 60 to 80 million of those ascending are going through the ascension process and entering 5D with their physical vessels intact, fully merging with their light bodies. You have agreed to this prior to your incarnation. Your vessels are going through much transformation at this time, more than you can imagine. We also have those, which is the majority of the ascendees, who will go through spiritual ascension. This would be 1.5 to 1.7 billion people. Yes, this means they will leave their current physical vessels behind and enter 5D with their light bodies fully activated. This isn't easy to put into words. Your light body also has the blueprint of your new physical vessel, which is ready for you once in 5D. You will merge simultaneously. It is, of course, less dense, but you will reflect your current physical appearance only at its optimal level, so you won't be just a ball of light floating around 5D. Mother Earth will also be keeping her physical vessel and merge with her 5D light body. What this means is, from Earth, currently you can see planet Venus, yes? What they don't tell you is that what you see now of Venus is a 2D, 3D version of Venus. It is no longer alive, for the spirit and light matrix of planet Venus, the true planet Venus, is now 6D. Which cannot be seen by you or your scientists with any of their instruments. However, Earth, as we have said, will keep her physical vessel. There will no longer be a 3D physical Earth to be perceived by other beings. What will remain is a simple, glitching, holographic image of 3D Earth for the few still remaining in 3D. This will also be shut down entirely in the late 2030s. As all remaining of the old frequency will depart to other planets. We would say precisely it is those who are now consider themselves starseeds or light workers who are going to go through physical ascension. Caring for your physical vessel is now paramount. All the light to you from heart to heart, Ki Rei. So this is one perspective on the ascension process, and interesting comment he made about Venus now existing in the sixth dimension. And in support of that, I found another channeling of a Venusian called Kerr, K-E-R, and this was on the 3rd of July, 2009. And it's only a quick paragraph, but it's an interesting one. And it goes like this: as a Venusian, and with the coming of ascension, I am also moving with my planet, Venus, although it is presently in a higher dimension than yours. Even as it is now vibrating on a higher level, it is more like the new earth you will ascend with. It is a paradise compared to what you have now. And if you could just glimpse what that means, you would have no hesitation in setting your sights upon ascension. And I think setting your sights on ascension is the key point here. In support of the whole ascension process, I can also state some other sources of information. For example, Preston Nichols, who was a member of the Montauk experiment, got into some really interesting time travel experiences, and he came to the conclusion, it's been at least 10 years ago now, that there would be an energy coming from the center of the galaxy which would move the dimensions all up one level. This also concurs with Alex Collier. If you don't know about him, he's an Andromedan contactee. He's got lots of stuff out on YouTube. And he also says that the Andromedans state that all the dimensions would be moving up one level. And, of course, the Pleiadians, Arcturians, Sirians are all definitely channeling information concerning the ascension process. And there's two sources that I particularly use and recommend on YouTube. One is Solara on Ra, who channels Pleiadian information. And the other is Steve Noble. And I've been doing the meditations for the majority of this year. What I'm finding is the meditations are getting more and more precise. In other words, they're into now assisting you with clearing energies, neutralizing some of the effects that you may be facing out there in the 3D world. So it looks to me like things are really getting fine-tuned with respect to this ascension process. And also, my own personal belief is that these numbers that are talked about in terms of the ascension, I don't think that the higher levels are going to allow those beings to be part of this enslavement process that's taking place on the planet at this time. And I guess the main idea here is to be able, with much challenge, to focus on the whole process of the ascension. And one of the ways to do that is to do these meditations that are available. And that's Solara on Ra and Steve Noble on YouTube. And my suggestion would be that it's okay to keep up with current events, and maybe on your computer or your laptop you check out a few alternative news sources to kind of check on, see what's going on in case anything affects anything practically that you need to deal with, or to keep abreast of certain situations. However, I wouldn't spend the majority of my time there, nor spend the majority of my time talking about it. The idea here being is to get focused on this whole ascension process. And another way to connect with that will be to have an Andara crystal. That's A-N-D-A-R-A. Andara crystal. Andara crystals come from monatomic fields. Time permitting on this program, I'll give some more detail on this, but suffice to say that 5D and Andara crystals are synonymous in frequency. So another good way to tune into the ascension process. I'd like to also give some perspective here on that most people on the planet aren't aware of. I'm sure that most of the listening audience of ET Yoga are aware of the grays and the reptilians. But just for those new listeners, I'd like to give a little perspective on this, and that is that the grays, the ones that usually have are remembered by having the large black eyes and small in stature, according to most information, they're more extra-dimensional than extraterrestrial, because they're kind of like a future version of humans who went down the technological road and eventually lost their ability to reproduce. And they're the ones that are also notorious for being involved in what's called the abduction process, they take humans aboard their craft and do their experiments and then wipe their memories and return them for the most part. And many people are kind of aware of this, but probably not to the extent that it's taken place. I've heard numbers as high as 48% of the U.S. population. I'm not sure about any of those numbers, but I am sure that the process is taking place, and that, in point of fact, the Greys eventually were successful in creating a hybrid race, not only one, but apparently five, at least, hybrid races that are combining humans and Greys. And Bashar, years ago, gave a term to those extraterrestrials who would come first. He called them the Shalanaya. Turns out the Shalanaya themselves actually call themselves the Yael. And the Yael have thousands of these hybrid children that are a combination of DNA from Earth mothers and fathers. And in point of fact, they have already arrived. In 1989, there was a phenomenon that took place in Arizona. It's called the Phoenix Lights. And that was about a mile-wide craft that shaped like a boomerang that flew low over the entire state of Arizona and was seen by thousands and thousands of people. So the Yael are actually here, and there are unpublicized connections are being made with some of the children on board that because of their way of manipulating the time and the way people experience time, they're able to bridge that gap and also make some connections with the human parents. So this process is actually happening. And if you don't know about the reptilians, the Alpha Draconians, and that's A-L-P-H-A, Alpha Draconians, commonly known as Dracos, are the ones that apparently even took over power from Anunnaki and also have done some crossbreeding with Anunnaki. So some of the Anunnaki are human-looking and some are a mix of reptilian. And the Draco have basically been the ones running this planet for as long as we care to know. And this has always, for the most part, been behind the scenes. Although as I get into the next portion of the program, you'll see that they do play an active role in the secret space program. So the reptilian connection here is that the grays are, in effect, gophers for the reptilians. And back in the 1950s, there was a treaty signed with the grays allowing them to do this abduction and for a trade in technology, and that's where you saw the big spike in things like fiber optics and things that weren't normally progression of Earth science. And since then, there have been numerous other treaties signed, and I'm not privy to all of those, but I do hear about it. And the bottom line is that Earth governments are very much aware of the extraterrestrial presence, and for the most part, it's been thought in the best interest of all concerned that they've been keeping this secret. And I'm sure if there is a disclosure, it'll be like a partial disclosure. They're not going to get into, you know, too much, in my opinion. Now, if we move on to the combination of grays and reptilian, particularly the reptilian, are part of what's known as the Fifth Reich. And the Fifth Reich is mostly composed of a Nazi faction, actually. And where that came from is that our world history is kind of messed up a little bit, because as Admiral William Tompkins has reported, back in World War II, much of the technology from Germany at that time went down to Antarctica. One of the places called New Berlin. And he reports that Admiral Byrd actually took a fleet from of Navy vessels and planes to go down there to kind of clean things up, but they got pretty much destroyed and limped back to the U.S. The idea here being that Germany had UFO technology during World War II, but it hadn't been weaponized at that point. And during shortly thereafter, they did figure out how to put laser technology, et cetera, into these UFO craft. And so thus, UFO technology or space flight has been around since, well, at least probably the 1930s and 40s. And according to certain whistleblowers in the secret space program, Germany actually had the first base on the moon. And it was also a point in time where there was about 10 UFO craft hovered over the White House, and some deals were made. And according to William Tompkins, this Project Paperclip, which brought about 10,000 high-ranking Nazis from Germany, became basically the deep state in the United States. And why would the United States do that if they won the war? Because according to the rest of the world, Germany lost the war, but in point of fact, all the top-ranking ones, including Hitler, escaped and became part of the deep state in the United States. A fact that I guess not too many people want to talk about. But since that point in time, it also there was emerging then of U.S. involvement in what's commonly called the secret space programs, and there's different factions of that, and I'm not an expert in that particular area. Kerry Cassidy at Project Camelot has devoted a lot of years to studying this through whistleblower information. And so the whole perspective on the planet would be that they've got technology that's like thousands of years ahead of what the mainstream population is aware of. And they have things like medveds that can cure people from illness, and zero-point energy, and time travel, all kinds of stuff. So all funded by money from taxpayers, but we're not getting the benefits, at least at this point, of any of that new technology. And in point of fact, with what's going on the planet at the moment, it seems that they're all down with the idea of the total enslavement of humanity, which is at the a level of technology that can control the planet, not to mention the fact that there's a reptilian influence here in this whole process, in the space programs that are undisclosed to the public. So that's just my opinion on how some of that goes. But if you start putting everything into perspective, it puts a whole different light on things, because most people kind of go around thinking that, oh, their vote's going to matter or make a difference. Well, as Alex Collier said, there's 43 levels of clearance above president, and it's probably 43 levels of clearance above Earth in the secret space programs. I would have no idea about that, but I do know that there are definitely factors involved here in what's currently happening. I was not impressed with certain things that I found out in the last couple of years about the Bashar influence. And Bashar is one of those people that I got connected with some of his information, because I always felt he was highly accurate with his information. And quite a bit of it does help people to understand more about how the world works and how consciousness works, and helps them to evolve. And I was always under the impression that although he didn't mention self-realization, or he didn't talk about, let's say, enlightenment, he would talk about, you know, all that is and kind of leave it at that. So it kind of gave me a little red flag there to an extent, but I always found his information useful. Always kind of thought that maybe he was an extraterrestrial who was tuned into the universal intelligence field, because I have experienced that field. And you ask the question, you get the answer. But now my thinking is totally different. I think he's just hooked up to an AI program, because he came out a couple of years ago with information that his home world is controlled by three supercomputers. I think they're called Epiphany, Enigma, and Epsilon, if my memory serves. And so in point of fact, I think he's part of the board. And further evidence of that is that I listened to a channeling of Kosal Uch, who was hosted by Alfred Weber and James Rink. And Kosal Uch actually brought in the consciousness of the COVID-19. Brought in Bashar. So, Kosal Uch is admittedly part of the Borg. He's been microchipped, and he's hooked into a program, a supercomputer called Unimatrix. And so here we have, there have been multiple channelings of Bashar through Kosal Uch. So this is further evidence that, in point of fact, Bashar turns out to be a traitor to humanity, because he's basically on the side of the Borg. And how that Borg would operate would be to get humanity chipped, which could be accomplished also through the vaccines. And these nanoparticles, and I don't think it's any coincidence that they're now showing on YouTube people that have had the vaccines, that the magnets stick to their arm, the arm where they took the shots. And the idea being that they get enough nanoparticles in you, and then you pretty much function like an antenna that can receive and give out information, and can be hooked up to the 5G network, and then thus, and from there to a computer system. And thus you become a hive mind, and thus the big downside of a vaccine program. And in the most latest email that's online, it says from the Bashar team, their suggestions for the what you should be doing right now is to follow the instructions of the WHO or World Health Organization. And in my opinion, this is a criminal organization. Currently under trial at the Universal Court in The Hague, as well as the Israeli government for violations of the Nuremberg Code. In my opinion, they're not in violation of one of the 10 chief components of the Nuremberg Code. They're in violation of all of them. Because one of the ideas here being that you can't be, humanity is not to be under experimentation or experimented on. And that's exactly what's happening right now, is that we've allowed this experimentation to take place. These vaccines were given emergency approval, which means they cannot be mandated. And obviously they were in some places. And according to Dr. Palevesky, that's Palevesky, he said the COVID injection is not even a vaccine. He said in order for an injection to be a vaccine, it must meet the following five criteria: that it provides immunity to the virus, which this does not, and most people seem to be aware that, oh, they think they're protected once they take these vaccines. In point of fact, you still have to be tested when you want to take an airplane, even if you've had the vaccine. So obviously, you know, it doesn't provide immunity from the virus. It's supposed to protect individuals from getting the virus. There's no proof of that. It reduces deaths from the virus infection. Well, it's turning out that there may be more people dying from the vaccine than there are from the virus. And reduces the circulation of the virus. There's no proof of that either. And reduces the transmission of the virus, and there's no proof of that. So the COVID-19 injections fail to meet any of the criteria that are standard definitions for vaccines. It's not really a vaccine. It's an experimental nanotechnology. And in my opinion, what it does is that shuts down your empathy gene, for one, shuts down your pineal gland, cuts you off from source, basically disconnects you from your spirituality. And the process is irreversible. And the goal here being numerous. One, sterilization of the planet. We notice all the issues that the women are having. I think in one study there was 96 out of 115 women had miscarriages. That took the vaccines. We know this has been an issue from the beginning. The latest doctor on a panel that I saw talk about the side effects, it was 3% that they know of that are having serious side effects. It makes no logical sense for anyone to take this. I mean, we're talking about something that has the death factor of a common flu, and so 99% recovery rate. Why would somebody take a 3% chance of having a serious side effect when it doesn't even protect you from the COVID? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, except through the propaganda and fear porn that's put out there by the media. Not to mention the fact that there's never been any informed consent for a lot of these vaccines. Another condition of the Nuremberg Code, informed consent means that you're given all the information concerning other options that you can take, such as hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. These are, not to mention multiple other processes that have been effective, and to include your own process, which would be the vaccine, and give the pros and cons of that. And they don't even know what the pros and cons are because it hasn't been tested. So So the whole thing is a complete joke when it comes to any kind of logic. Now they're noting another more serious issue, which are these prions, or the spike protein that produces the prions. And people are starting to shed. In other words, the vaccinated are shedding on the unvaccinated. And according to people like Miles Johnston, I first heard about this prion issue, was an interview on Project Camelot, and Carrie Cassidy did her own interview regarding this subject with some top doctors that she interviewed on her program. As well, now we're hearing from Cliff High talking about this wave of prions that probably will hit, since a lot of these people were vaccinated in April or March of this year, about 18 months from now. He's anticipating that these vaccinated will turn into super spreaders. And so thus, what we have now currently, which in my opinion is not a pandemic, but basically a PSYOP. And there, by the way, the virus has never been isolated. So how could you come up with a vaccine for something you can't isolate? Is beyond my comprehension. But the bottom line here is that what is not really, in my opinion, a pandemic now, nor did it ever spread from person to person, because years and years they've tried to pass viruses from one person to another and can't. So scientifically, that's not possible. What the problem is the vaccine, not the virus, and what's being spread in the vaccine. And these prions contribute to a condition called mad cow disease. So according to some sources in secret space program that's have been discussing the subject at Super Soldier Talk, and that's usually hosted by James Rink, these people that are taking these vaccines are going to be leaving us pretty soon and incarnated on other 3D planets. Unfortunately, they have this goal of 70% of people who get vaccinated. Well, that's because if they could vaccinate 70%, they'd probably wipe out the other 30% due to this spreading. So this is going to be a huge problem coming up here in the future. In other words, what's really now BS lockdowns, BS mask wearing, BS social distancing, all this kind of garbage, and the fake numbers, and there's no more flu anymore because all the flu is now listed as COVID. I mean, everything's listed as COVID deaths. So all the BS that's gone out there to make this fake pandemic is going to probably turn into a real pandemic, because this shredding and these prions, this is contagious. So if people think that this problem is going away anytime soon, I don't see that. Like, it's just going to get progressively worse. And thus, the timing of the ascension process will be at the appropriate time, because they're not going to lose the, as they say, the harvest of the ascension. And that's the prime goal for the higher extraterrestrials, is to assist us in that process. And as the words from at the start of the program from Key Raj, he noticed the last thing that he said was, caring for your physical vessel is now paramount. Kind of reading between the lines there. And what I get is that it's time to make sure that you don't get sucked into this vaccine agenda. And hopefully none of the ET Yoga listening audience would be stupid enough to go for this. I'd like to... at this time, since we have a little bit of time left, share with you some have more deep information about the Andara crystal, which is resonates at the 5D level. And it's a name to identify a prima matra crystals. And the find in California was originally seeded for prima matra by those we call the Time Walkers, in conjunction with the High Devas, mythologically depicted as unicorns. And approximately 2,000 years after the interdimensional implosion, a Lemurian temple complex was raised on this site, the name of which was Andara, meaning light of beauty and perfection. And the primary purpose of the complex was in working with the prima matra powders, crystals, and water on the land. And one of the temples in this complex was dedicated to the ancient archetype known to the Egyptians as Sekhmet and the Assyrians as Ishtar. And while Andara was originally a Lemurian colony, those who participated in the Andara complex became their own race. By this we mean that through their purposeful interaction with the prima matra, they transmuted their crystalline DNA, becoming a highly futurized form of human being, even more developed in their light matrix from the Lemurians of that age. And thus, these colonists advanced from Lemurians to Andarians. And the Andara crystal was formed inside a no-time hyperfield, creating within them a kinesthetic continuum. This is a continuum that allows a moving time field within the elemental and structural composition of the crystal formation. And this information comes from Foss, that understanding a kinesthetic continuum would involve a complex dissertation in an area of science not known to you. Thus, we will touch on its most basic understanding of it here. In essence, this K continuum does not align to a natural polarity, but instead phase matches directly with the universal light matrix, or the golden net of Athena. Thus, utilizing the Andara crystals, one may interact with Athena's net. This net moves matter beyond the time barriers. Access to Athena's net allows soul matter units integration with future forms of spirit matter. Thus, the Andara crystals contain the most concentrated charge of the monofield, hyperfield, and kinesthetic continuum. In this respect, they are even more potent than the prima matra powders. In addition, they are also very resonant with the alpha and omega of ancient days. The omega being the remains of the alpha, which fused with the Andara crystals formed in the event. And I think if they're talking about the event, they're talking about when the third and sixth dimensions touched at one point. And the alpha and omega of ancient days contain a powerful interdimensional black hole. The alpha version was in receipt of the black hole, but the omega contains the latter-day black hole frozen in your space-time. The Andara crystals, while not containing black holes themselves, do resonate with the sentience of the Ancient of Days that have been absorbed into their hyperfield. Understand that there is a sentience within the Ancient of Days, omega crystal. This sentience is more ancient than your comprehension could possibly accept, other than to call it eternal. Like Merlin in his magic cave, this sentience has been frozen in your time-space. The sentience of the Ancient of Days is an enlightened source of consciousness. It comes from the galaxy of Andromeda and was drawn into the hyperfield by the tremendous warping zone that occurred when the third and sixth dimensions touched, or more aptly, collided. And that's just amazing information from Thoth concerning Andara crystals. And they are a consciousness and one of high consciousness. Definitely, many of people have emailed me concerning the Andara crystals, and very pleased that they heard about them. It's not really widely known. I've been to crystal shows and asked about the Andara crystals, and didn't even know what you're talking about. I'm sure that there are people that that are aware of them, but it's not a very widely known crystal. And for the most part, you can pick one up for about, $30 to $50 online. Some are a lot more expensive, but interestingly enough, they're all connected with each other. It's a very powerful tool, and I highly recommend them. You can also research Erica Rock. She goes into a lot of detail concerning some of the amazing stories that are associated with the Andara crystals. Personally, I like to just keep one under my pillow at night and in my pocket during the day. So that's one of the ways that I utilize them. I would like to, at this point in time, wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your success at the ascension process, as well as full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing, I'll share with you the Who Am I technique, which is one I picked up actually from Baba Ram Das. It's a technique that is taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And basically what you do is put your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot and ask yourself, who am I? And you can do that once or a few times and whatever feels comfortable. But the main thing is get to the highest place you know how to get to, become that spot in the center of your forehead, and then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not the spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.